Hi, lovely listeners. It's Sarah. This is just a preface for this episode. And the biggest thing I wanted to let you know is this episode was recorded a year ago, which I think will become very obvious when you hear us mention 2022. But this is a bonus episode. It's wrapping up our It Happened One Summer Hook, Line, and Sinker combo by Tessa Bailey. This episode never got uploaded because of other things that were happening at the time. So just enjoy it as a bonus episode. Don't pay attention to any of the books that we say are upcoming or any of the timelines. Don't laugh too hard when we're talking about Stranger Things. Obviously, it's been a hot minute since that's been out. I hope you enjoy our hook, line, and sinker, and we will catch you guys in our next regularly scheduled episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Wicked Good Book Club. Delaney's giving me the hands. I don't know what else to say. I don't know how else to open it. You
No,
never open it.
it is. Well, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just your thing now.
It
So,
is. Hi.
yeah.
Welcome back.
Hello.
This
Hello, everyone.
is.
We're doing two episodes in a row. Look at us.
Look at us. Look at us. Who would have thought? Look at us. What's July? It's July book time. We have good books in July. I mean, I feel like we've had good books like in general, but July is two popular now books,
Yes.
which I think maybe the first time we've done like two popular now books.
No, we've done a lot of popular book talk books.
Yeah,
So.
no, it's true. These are, I mean, it's nice because we're wrapping up one like not series necessarily, but books that go together. And
Yeah.
then also, our second July book has stuff going on now in terms of content. So, very exciting. If you don't know, now you know that our July book is Hook, Line, and Sinker by Tessa
It's in the
Bailey.
title. You should
It's
probably
in
know
the
that.
title. And it's the Ballinger sisters' second book. So, it's the
Yep.
second book to It Happened One Summer, which I loved.
I loved, yeah.
Loved. This one came out in March of 2022, so very new book. And we read it like the day it came out. I read it the day it came out.
You did. I read
Yeah.
it like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. It's great. It's that like perfect length again. Tessa Bailey writes like these really nicely like written
Everything.
everything.
Everything
I mean
she
everything. But she makes it like it's 400 pages, which for the type of book that it is perfect. You get
Yeah.
enough without getting too much. You also don't get shorted any on it. Like I feel like she the story gets wrapped up really nicely. So,
Yeah.
in book 1, and It Happened One Summer, it focuses on Piper, who's the older Bellinger sister, Hannah, who is the main character of this book or the main female love interest of this book obviously is in it, but we end book one with Piper saying that she's going to stay in Westport, which is the fishing town that they were sent to, and Hannah goes home to LA to work on her job. And then it's kind of where we open is
Pretty much.
with
Yeah.
Hannah back working her job.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as we met in the last book, there's a character called Fox Thornton, who is also a king crab fisherman with Brandon. And he and Hannah like kind of started to become friends-ish before she left for LA.
Yeah.
He comes up again in this book. Spoiler alert, he's the guy.
And this man is so fine. This man is so fine.
This is Sarah's type. I'm
This
much
is,
more drawn to Brendan,
let me
but
tell you take a guy, you make him like buff and big, but then you also make him so fucking pretty. Oh,
you
girl.
like the pretty boys for sure.
I like pretty boys who like do stuff like this, like but who also work. Like I don't like pretty boys in suits. I like
Yeah,
pretty
true.
boys who like do
Yeah.
manual labor for a living. Like that's my
Nice.
type.
Nice. But yeah, so he's a reputation of being very, very sexy. Everybody knows. He's a fox. Ha. Ha.
I just
Ha.
put that together.
Nice. That dead air is really going to be great for the podcast. But he's also known as like a very like carefree flirt and a playboy for sure. Everyone knows that he's in it for a good time. And that's pretty much it.
He doesn't do serious relationships
Yeah,
at all.
and he likes it that way. That's like how he prefers to maintain. Like he likes to have a woman in every port of call, basically, that they go to up and down the
But
West Coast,
never in Westport.
but never in his hometown.
He doesn't like to shit where he eats.
Fair enough.
Until he meets Hannah.
Until he meets, which I mean, I know it's such an overdone trope. Like he's this way until he meets this girl, but I cannot get enough of that.
I mean, definitely, yeah, same, but also he's a little bit different. And we'll talk about that later. Like,
He
he's a
is a
little
little
bit
bit
more than the
different.
traditional of, oh, I'm a playboy until I meet this one girl. We realize that that's not 100% who he is.
I just, that's one of those tropes that you can like just put right into my
Right into your
veins,
veins.
right into my veins, man. I live for it. Live for it.
Okay, so so he meets Hannah. She seems to be like completely immune to his charms and good looks, and he actually really likes that. He likes that she seems to like his personality. What? No one has ever really shown an interest, at least not deeply, into who he is. Everybody kind of makes their assumptions of him and then just moves on. And he realizes like Hannah wants to be like friends. She doesn't really want anything sexually from him. Wild.
No. And the first time they meet is in book one, where he takes her to the record shop to give Brendan some time with Piper because he's like, oh, maybe he likes her. And like, we get the immediate feedback from Hannah. She's like, yeah, he seems cool. His phone literally went off every 5 seconds. Like, it was always girls. Like, I have no interest in him. And I'm just kind of like, oh, you know what, Hannah, I like you.
Yeah, definitely.
I
His
wish I
standards.
had your standards because I don't have any standards right now. They're so low.
It's okay. The bar's in hell. We
The
understand.
bar is in hell, and so am
All the good people are. It's okay. But anyway, so he starts to like her, but he likes her too much to risk a fling. So he tries to keep it platonic. That doesn't go well. But Brendan, Piper's now fiance.
They get
They get
engaged. I'm
engaged, and we
kind of
don't see
sad.
it.
Yeah, we miss out on that moment. That's the one qualm I have with the entire book, really, is that we never get the moment because you know Piper was like, oh, crazy about it, right? And Brendan probably like made a big deal about it for her. I would have loved to have seen
And it
that.
was just very much like, oh yeah, they're engaged now. Oh, okay.
Yep, they just drop that bomb and walk away.
And I get it's not their book, but you know,
Yeah.
it could have been in the epilogue of Hook of It Happened One Summer, but
It does make me think that she was like tandem writing them, and so she wasn't sure what was going to happen.
It's possible. But so they're engaged, and Brendan gives Fox a lot of stern warnings about staying away from Hannah
Oh my
because of
God,
his
like
reputation.
so many
Like, that's
warnings.
basically the only thing we hear from Brendan the entire book
The entire
is
book.
him telling Fox to like back off
And we
and not.
basically never see Piper.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is also wild because Hannah went there to be with Piper also partially, so.
They live in the same fucking town.
And it's
Like
like a
they
town of like 1,000 people.
not even like
I don't know what it
200
is,
people.
but
Like, yeah, no. Like they're the town is very small. She absolutely should have seen her sister more. There's like some Piper interaction, but not like Hannah was much more involved in Piper's book than Piper is in Hannah's book.
But anyways, so Brendan and Fox are also kind of butting heads about the fact that Brendan wants him to take over the captain spot. Because Brendan's looking to expand his own fleet with another ship and hand the current ship over to Fox. Fox is, he just doesn't think that he has what it takes to be a captain. He doesn't think respect him. Doesn't like the idea of like having everybody's lives in his hand. It's just too serious for him. He likes to avoid serious at all cost.
Which is interesting because you do anticipate that he has quite a bit of confidence, and in a lot of areas he does, but he's also like deeply, deeply insecure. And this is one of the larger points of insecurity that he has is being captain. And he says that he's done it for like smaller, like one day, whatever, whatever. But Brendan's like, no, I want you to, like, this is going to be your ship and then this is going to be mine and we'll still work together, but like, you're going to be, and he's, Fox is so not about it.
Yeah, and I get it because that's how I feel about kids. I'll take over the wheel for a couple hours and then I will hand it back to you. And that's
Don't
how
even want
Fox
it.
feels about being a captain. So, yeah, great.
We're pretty anti-parenting on this podcast.
I just don't want children of my own. That's
I don't
all.
either. I don't either.
And that's fine.
Brendan pushes this a lot. And like, they do have this is so these are the only conversations where they're like, don't fuck Hannah. You should take over the ship. Like, those are the only two interactions they have. But
Yeah.
there are some nicer moments where like Brendan is kind of pushing Fox because he obviously sees something in him and Fox is really resistant to it. But they have some like nice moments. And then Brendan just like sets it up so he has to leave town or whatever. And Fox has to be a captain, which is fine. And that works out. But then we've got Hannah, who's in town for work. And she's there because she's crushing on the director of the film that she was into the first book, whose name I can't remember.
Sergey, something like
Is
that.
it Sergei? Okay.
I think.
Yeah. And it like the vibe wasn't fitting and she's like, we'll go to Westport. And then they're like, yes, we'll do it. So they do the whole thing, they go to Westport. So Hannah's gonna stay with Piper and Brendan, but then Brendan's parents are coming into town. And so she can't. So she ends up in Fox's spare bedroom. And Brendan's like, oh, that's a terrible idea. And Piper's like, I don't know, it's not that bad of an idea.
I really think Piper is like knowing this is going to happen.
Oh, I think that Piper has a sense for these things, not with her own relationship, but like everyone around her. I think she sees people like that for sure. Obviously, Hannah like knows what Fox is like, but they're definitely just friends. But then as we get further into the book, like they've been texting all fall. Like they've been texting
For like
all
6 months.
back-and-forth for a long time. And
Yeah.
not just like, hey, how's your day? But like, hey, how's your day? Here, how's the what music are you feeling? They're like sending stuff back and forth and blah blah blah, getting a little flirty, which you know, same. She's thinking like she's still into Sergey and Fox is gonna help her like win him over, basically. And it's funny because Hannah is very emotional and yet is very out of touch with like how to talk to people about emotions. And obviously her thing is like showing emotion through music, but if you when she has to express it, it's with Piper it's fine, and with other people it's like not good.
Yeah, and only for her own emotions. She's like very good at being other people's therapist and other people's support, but when it comes to herself, she doesn't know how to act or how to stand up
No.
for herself.
And they use the term that she's like not a leading lady quite a bit in this, which I do feel is a little bit overplayed. But she lacks the confidence to say things, especially in a professional setting, you see. She works with the film and she's got all these great ideas that could totally work. And she's very reluctant to say anything because she doesn't feel like it's her place and her dad got her her job. So she's got a lot going on. But Fox gives her a few tips about how to kind of catch Sergey's eye, and it's going fine. But then she and Fox are spending time together, and she's like, what if, and this is just
Hear me
crazy,
out.
I know, on a limb all the way out there, what if I bang you instead? Which, okay. And
I
so
mean,
the line starts to get really blurred, really blurred.
So as Hannah and Fox get to know each other better, like we kind of said, we learn that Fox is actually really insecure about, especially about how people see him. We learn that his father was horrible, known as a playboy, just a really shitty dad, like bringing multiple women over while his son stays with him for like the first time in a long time, that kind of stuff. And that's really because of who his dad is, that's really all anyone ever expects Fox to be, including his mom, which is a big yikes.
Which is sad, especially for like kids. I mean, that's your love map gets developed when you're, like tweens to early teens, and there's no one doing the damage that's done, really, except for without deep therapy.
And it gets to a point where, like, he's being sexually active way before his friends, his parent, like his friends' parents know about it. They don't like him.
yeah,
that and kind of stuff.
And his mom, like, encourages it. She, like, buys him packs of condoms and stuff when he's very, like,
very young.
Like, young, young. Like,
and freshman doesn't ever talk to him about it. She's just like,
she's like, oh, yeah, he knows, whatever, go for it.
And
yeah.
Also, like, I'm expected this. Like, this mm-hmm. is what you're going to do. And we do also find out that he tried to have one serious relationship in college, that he was, like, really into this girl, thought he loved her and all that stuff. And then he found out that actually she was his roommate's girlfriend, who she was using as, like, a hall pass. Which, so it wasn't even serious.
That, I will say, reading that, like, segment of text was a little confusing for me. I get the general idea of what she was trying to say happened, but the writing for that was a little confusing for me.
Yeah, and it's just a wild situation. But if that happened to me, I would also never want to date anyone ever again.
Ever again?
So.
Never. I would be so fucked up from it. I mean.
Yeah. So then he goes back to, again, like, not, never serious, no mm-hmm. attachments, mm-hmm. just.
He leaves the town. Like, he
leaves town.
He leaves. I don't think he finishes college.
He doesn't. No.
He leaves because this happens and, like, it sets his life on a totally different path. Obviously, he's doing just fine for himself, you know, and he's got a career that he loves and friends and everything like that. But, like, it really sets him on a different course. Like, he was quite bright.
And he was also trying to get out of that. Those mm-hmm. expectations. That's why he went right. to college and everything.
He
so
left, and he went to college far away to get away from it. And then he's like, oh my God, it's found me. Yeah.
Right. Sad. So he just gets into, well, this is all I'm ever going to be. Even mm-hmm. people who don't know me knew that this is all I was ever going to be. So whatever.
Yeah.
But Hannah does see him as more than that, kind of not from the beginning, but pretty quickly. She realizes that that's not all that he is. Mm-hmm. But she also realizes that she can't, like, push him too far in the emotional department because he starts to shut down and pushes her away. So they start sharing more with each other, and Fox sees that Hannah doesn't think of herself, like we said, as a leading lady. So he encouraged her with work, and she encourages him with opening up and talking about himself and taking himself more seriously, especially with, like, the captain role. Mm-hmm. Hannah then, you know, they do a few different things. We're skipping over some stuff because it's mostly just them, like,
it's them just doing, like,
normal things.
Making breakfast, going to record store. Like, it's cute, but it's, I couldn't tell you what it was.
Right. At one point, Hannah meets Fox's mom at bingo. And, like, that's when their sort of relationship starts. But I believe the first time they actually have sex is when they go to Portland. Or Seattle.
For a record conference?
See, before we started recording, we realized we don't remember much about this book.
I remember that it was fun.
Yeah.
And that they got together.
And I do think that's a critique. Like, the fact that both of us are like, what was the plot?
Because I could tell you basically everything that happened, and it happened one summer.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, basically they went to Seattle to get this whole other subplot happening, to get this local band to record songs of Hannah's dad for the movie.
Yeah. So Hannah's trying to get in touch with, like, who her dad was, and finds out he wrote sailor songs. And then she tells the director that she's got this great band who can do them. But then she goes to the record shop, and the lady's like, they're really flaky. Good luck. Yeah. And then they go and they're recording, and
the important part is they had sex in a car in a park. That's the important thing.
With wind chimes in the air.
With wind chimes in the air while it's pouring down rain.
Yeah.
Yes.
I gotta be honest. I'm not mad about that.
I'm not mad about it either, but I'm just saying that was the important thing. Everything else is a subplot that, to be honest, I don't really care about.
Yeah. So the important thing is they do get together.
They get together.
And then they kind of fall apart. And then they kind of get together. Like, it's very, there's a lot of awkward tension between them. Like, they're very clearly attracted to each other, but also both of them don't know that the other person is attracted to them.
Yeah.
There's, like, a scene with, she's out filming with the crew, and she mm-hmm. sees Fox, like, on the ship close by, and he takes off his shirt, and she's like, now I'm horny.
Yeah.
And she goes home and she uses his massage oil, like,
it's yeah just, and like it's he just, walks in
and he's like, I can smell it, and you're just like, okay,
yeah,
all right,
yeah. It's a lot of off and on
It's a lot of like, where's the line? Like, toe the line. Is the line moving a little further?
Will they, won't they?
Well, they
Da da
won't
da da da.
they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But after the trip in Seattle is where they're like, get together.
And they're like, I think we can do this. And then they actually start doing stuff together in town until they start to get some pushback. Like, they're walking, getting ice cream or something like that. And guys in town are like, oh, you know what you're getting with that one. Ha ha ha. And
Yeah, something
Hannah's like,
like
I'll
that.
fuck you up. And
Yeah,
you're
basically.
like, oh,
But
good job, Hannah.
yeah, so everything all is good and well, but unfortunately we have like 100 pages left at
It's
that
and
point.
that and Tessa does that. So Fox is basically forced by Brendan to take a captain role for a longer fishing trip than normal. I don't remember how he sets this up, just that he like pulls out at the last minute and he
Yeah,
has
so
to.
basically he tells Fox, hey, we've got like a 3-day fishing trip, but I can't come, so you're gonna have to do it. And I have to drive my parents back or
Oops,
something.
or something.
And then Fox is like, you're a liar. And Brendan's like, yeah, I'm a
And
liar.
Brendan's like, yep. But regardless, Fox is in charge. The trip goes really well. He's got some confidence. And then it's mentioned that Hannah and Fox have been spending time together. And one of his crew guys is basically like, I just really feel like Hannah deserves better than to be with someone like you. Like the Ballinger sisters should be with like good people, basically. Which
Basically,
is
like,
just
why
a
are you messing around with that nice girl kind of
right. Yeah,
situation?
exactly. And like it m meant in like probably a harmless way because that's how Fox portrays himself and that's how he allows people to treat him and that's the thing they've all gotten into. And this absolutely sends him into like a shame spiral. And he has this big conversation with Hannah about how he's so bad and blah 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 and that he's saving her from him, which ugh, just ugh. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what's good for me. If I'm here, I want to be here. And Hannah's like, I know it's bullshit. Like, I know it's bullshit, but clearly we both need to think about what we want. And then Hannah leaves, and Fox is like, oh no, I don't want her to leave. And you're just like, oh, this is so high school.
Yeah, it
This
is
is like
pretty.
so high school. But I guess for them, like Hannah never having any serious relationships is now an adult. Fox never having serious relationships is now an adult. This is like high school for them. Like, this is the they're kind of at that emotional level with figuring out like what it's like co-sharing whatever with people.
And honestly, like Fox is the more high school one.
For
Hannah is
sure.
more like, whatever you're going through right now, you need to think about it and get back to me, basically.
Internalize, process, verbalize. But
Right.
she has like a couple moments and then she's like, oh, I get to be the one that's like immature this time. But for the most part, it's Fox who's
It's
being really
mostly
immature.
Fox, yeah.
So he's super upset that she leaves the apartment. He gets in his car and he's driving and he's like, oh, and then he ends up at his mom's house, which is like not close.
No, it's like 2 hours away.
It's like not close.
He doesn't really like realize he was going there, but
No.
and he mentions that he like never goes there, and it's because he like sees the look in his mom's face like whenever she sees him, because apparently he looks like his dad.
Just like his dad, yep.
So he doesn't really like to spend time around her. It just reminds him of what she thinks about him and like the connection he has to his dad. So that's really sad. But he goes there and they end up talking about not only Hannah, but his whole life up to this point. And you know, he opens up about how his dad's reputation and her expectations, along with everyone else's, of the kind of person he was going to be, basically fueled how he acted. He just decided to act how they expected him to, and it's not necessarily what he wanted. But he also felt like he couldn't do anything more. And
And that's sad. And that's like that happens. And that cyclical, this is how people treat me, so this is how I'll be thing happens. I'm in it right now where people treat me bad, so then I'm bitchy to them, so then they treat me bad because I'm bitchy to them because they're treating me bad. So it's, I mean, this thought process that he had and the conversation he has with his mom, I do find this to be one of the more realistic pieces of his character because
Definitely.
this is something that I feel like everyone's dealt with at some point, like how you respond to people and then how you act because of it and how you get in your head about the fact that like, well, it's just easier. Like they see me like this anyway. It's so much easier than challenging them on it and being like, no, hey, I'm not like that. And this was very relatable to me.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we don't ever get the sense necessarily that his mom is awful, but at this point she realizes, like, you know, how she messed up.
Yeah.
And she
didn't intend to, like, she didn't realize that she was, like, flinching when she saw him.
Right.
But still, like, gonna fuck your kid up for sure.
Definitely. So she apologizes. They kind of actually, like, help their relationship some, which is really sweet. And then Fox is, like, obviously emotionally drained, so he falls asleep on her couch. He wakes up the next day realizing that Hannah's bus leaves for LA, like, in like 2 hours or something.
Classic.
Like that. Yeah.
It leaves in 2 hours and 1 minute, and it takes him 2 hours and 2 minutes to get there.
Exactly, like that kind of thing. He calls her, tells her he loves her, and then starts hauling ass back to Westport to try to catch her before she leaves. Because it went to voicemail. She didn't answer. And then he also calls Brendan asking if Hannah's left yet. He says he hasn't seen her, which also is like, ah, shit, has she already left? Mm-hmm. I think he's assuming that she's kind of already left at this point. Mm-hmm. And Brendan apologizes for how he's treated Fox as well.
Which this was like the probably most beautiful moment, because like Brendan is Fox's oldest, dearest friend. Like they grew up together.
Yeah.
And like from a young age. So for Brendan to realize that like he has also been part of the problem, and to say, you know, like, I respect you, what you do for our company, like who you are as a person, you as my friend, like, I'm sorry that I ever made that worse. That was really sweet.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because, you know, Fox and Hannah were never going to be okay if Brendan didn't support them.
Right.
And he realizes that he judged Fox.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else did.
Absolutely.
In that department. And, you know, he says that basically he knows that he cares about Hannah and he's not going to hurt her if he can help it. That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So their friendship is also restored. That rift is restored as well while he
beautiful
drives back doing 200.
Yep. He gets back. And it looks like the set, like everyone from the production company is packed up and gone. They're not around anymore, which I guess would be fairly obvious in a town of like 12 people that there's not.
We went from 1,000 to 200 to 12. All right.
I mean, it's greater than 12, but less than 1,000.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Which is probably about accurate. And so he goes back to the apartment. He's like convinced that she's already left. And he finds her sitting on the floor of the apartment, listening to music on this record player that we find out had purchased for her and was like keeping for her, but didn't let her use.
Yeah.
Because it was like too emotional to give her, but would have brought her a lot of joy. And then we also find out like the whole summer he had been going to the record store and like buying records and stuff for her. And it's actually quite cute. But she's sitting on the floor just listening to music, and they have a big discussion about how, you know, they do love each other and they want to be together. And then they are together.
And then
it's like 10 years later.
Yeah.
Epilogue. Yep.
And I don't know how, I guess it's probably close to 10.
5 years, 10 years, because they've got kids.
Yes.
They've got like kids that are like 7. So
yeah, so let's go 10.
So yeah. I think it's 10 years later. It might even be 15 years later.
It doesn't matter.
I'm not sure. But anyway, it's later. And yeah. Fox and Hannah are having Brendan and Piper and their kids over for Christmas. And it's just this kind of obscure scene of like
very obscure scene.
A moose staring Hannah down in the driveway.
Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, get out here. There's a moose.
Yeah. So it's a little weird, but it's cute. And
it's cute.
I mean, it helps to wrap it up that like they're married, they have kids. Piper and Brendan are married and they have kids. They're happy. And they all are still spending time together. So
yeah,
it's a cute way to wrap it up. It does make me think there's not going to be a third book, which I do find interesting in a way, because to label it like the Bellinger sisters 1 and 2, you don't really need to do that if you just have a two part.
Oh, I think you have to say it's one and then the other's two.
But I mean, technically you can read these in any order. Like, I know the epilogue would give it away a little bit, but the stories can be read totally.
Not just the epilogue, the entire book of Hook, Line, and Sinker talks about Piper and Brendan being together. So
yeah, but I mean, I guess my thought is like you anticipate that they're together.
That's true.
biggest question, which couple do you like more? And I think we talked about this previously.
But... we sort of did. So here's my thing. I like Brendan more than Fox. Mm-hmm. But I think I like Hannah more than Piper.
Mm. Okay. That's fair.
But as a full couple.
Like as a full couple.
I think I might like Hannah and Fox better.
No.
I don't know.
Actually, I would see that you would like them better and I would like Piper and Brendan better, because I think that there, although there was a little bit more conflict in the beginning, Fox and Hannah will fall into a rhythm much more naturally than Piper and Brendan did, because Hannah is a much softer person, and that she won't concede more, but like she's much more willing to kind of work through things, where Piper is just like, no.
Yeah, no. But considering that's me and my boyfriend's dynamic, that's definitely not the reason.
That's true. You guys are more like, yeah.
Piper and Brennan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except not
me and whatever. Me and my boyfriend are like, we're just perfect. We don't ever fight. We never fight. There's no conflict. I always get my way. It's crazy.
It's so great.
It's crazy.
But I don't know. So I think one of the things I liked about Hannah and Fox was that I felt like there was a little bit more emotional work between them.
Yeah, there was a lot more emotional work. It was a very slow development, especially considering she prefaces the whole thing with it. They've been communicating pretty like consistently for a good period of time before they actually are back in the same city again too.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a slower burn. And I don't feel like there's as much tension up front, because in the beginning, they're both really set on just being friends.
Yeah.
And I feel like for Piper and Brendan, there was tension.
Tension immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the onset, which I like.
Yeah. I guess maybe I probably.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. They're different. Okay.
Who is your alone character? Like, which of the sisters is your favorite?
Hannah.
And which of the boys is your favorite, just by himself?
Brendan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is yours the opposite?
Piper.
And Fox.
No, I think Brendan. I prefer Brendan's character. I just like what Fox looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I prefer Brendan's character and looks. So.
I definitely think that Fox had more character development than Brendan did.
Yeah, even though Brendan's was a lot. I mean,
Brendan's was a lot, but it was more opening up. Like, he never lacked confidence, so it was just a very different type of development. Fox's was really coming into his own self-esteem and self-confidence more than Brendan's was. Brendan was just being open to possibility again.
Yeah. Can you hear those?
I can for sure hear them.
That is wild. Can we stop?
No, it's the finale. It'll be over soon.
I hate people. I hate them. I think Fox was a lot more like, I don't know if trauma based is the right word, but like he had to do a lot of personal work,
personal work. And I think Hannah was a lot more willing to help him with that. Like Piper was not about
Piper would have never done
help
that.
Anybody personally work. And it's funny because if you look at the sisters at the very beginning,
like they would have had to do
the
emotional work.
And if you didn't know anything about the characters, you would pair Piper with Fox and Hannah with Brendan. But then you know the characters and they don't fit as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely almost like the roles switched.
Yeah.
Piper had to do the emotional work. Mm-hmm. Brendan didn't have as much.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Which is nice. Like, it's an interesting way to write it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
definitely. So we know from the epilogue that they get married and have kids and that they're lasting. Do you think this is actually realistic for these two specific couples, that they got married, had kids, settled down?
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. I think they both work well in their own ways. Yeah. I think it's realistic.
I wonder about, like, at the end of It Happened One Summer, I did wonder about Piper adjusting to her life running a bar.
Definitely.
In a small town. But and I don't remember, because honestly, this book, like, for some reason, it's just a big fuzzy question mark in my brain. She's doing something else also, I seem to remember from the epilogue, like job-wise. Not just Piper? Running the bar. Yeah.
I only remember her running the bar.
I don't know. Maybe it's Hannah.
Hannah's doing something different.
That's doing something. She's doing film, not film something.
Yeah, Hannah is helping, like, indie bands get on.
Yes, get on. Scores. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, or not scores, but soundtracks. Yeah.
Right.
And, but I think Piper's just the bar.
Right. Which, to and maybe like being a mom fulfills her. I don't know, but to me, her just running a bar in a small town, that's the only unrealistic part for me.
Definitely, though, I wonder if with being such a small town and being like the owner of like a social hub,
that's kind true. Of,
yeah. She gets the same kind of thing as when she was an influencer.
That's true.
You know?
Maybe. Maybe.
And it's a little bit more of like a big fish in a small pond. So she feels like a little bit more fulfilled than you would think she would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember her, like, obviously she grows a lot as a person and reprioritizes some of the stuff, but it also happened over such a short time span that you wonder about how long-term these changes are. Like,
definitely.
I used to go hiking in the woods for 10 days and you wouldn't have a phone. And I'd be like, I'm not going to use my phone when I get back. I love this. And then after 2 days, you're like, no, I'm going to get back on my phone. So,
right.
You know, everything seems great short-term for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Do you think another book is coming?
Definitely not.
No. I just, when I was looking up stuff about the second book, there were people who felt like maybe it wasn't the end, but I feel like once you write the epilogue, like.
Once you write the epilogue, and also, like, it's called the Bellinger Sisters series. There's only two of them. What are they going to do? Bring in an unnamed cousin?
Yeah, or I guess they're kids.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know about that.
People do that though. I hate when it gets too far removed.
That's what I mean. I don't think Tessa Bailey would do that.
No.
Especially with these being like spicy books. Yeah. Like what, she gonna talk like write about their parents having sex and then the kids having sex? I don't know. That feels a little wild to me. Yeah.
All right. We're not allowed. Not allowed to write books, clearly.
Well, I'm trying to write a book, so that's
which of the books did you prefer now that you've read them both?
Overall, it happened one summer.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I also think that was spicier.
It definitely was.
For sure, right? Okay.
Yeah. And it was kind of crazy with Hook, Line, and Sinker. I got to the point where they were like together, and then it was really hard for me to get to the rest of it. It was really, really hard. Like it was a slog.
There wasn't the tension that like keeps it interesting until they're cute and in love,
right?
Which I require basically.
Yeah, and I mean, I got it, and it was cute, and I enjoyed it definitely, but I liked It Happened One Summer better. Yeah,
yeah, same. When I was reading this, obviously Fox has a lot of red flags, and now that I'm back in the world of single people, I am learning what red flags I need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
What red flags were you, or would you be willing to overlook if you thought someone was really great?
So my red flags that I would overlook are not any, obviously, the big ones. Mm-hmm. Mine would almost be like what I would say is like false red flags.
Mm-hmm.
So things that other people have told you need to be red flags when it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Like what?
I think you and I had this conversation at one point of, probably, you know, all of the TikToks of like boyfriends doing like super extravagant things for their girlfriends and then being like, if he wanted to, he would. Well, that's not really.
Not really. It's different for people.
It's different for different people. People are also in different tax brackets, you know.
That's true.
There's all different kinds of ways for people to show you that they care about you and all of that. So anything that's based off of other people's judgments of what relationships should be, unless it's something like, you know, they can't communicate or they're super jealous and controlling, that kind of stuff, obviously.
Yeah, but those ones are ones that I would not overlook. But I think those are like hard and fast red flags.
Yes.
There are some ones that look pretty pink, though.
Yes.
Until you get like really close to them.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so there are a couple that I am overlooking in my life.
Hey. And that's the other thing, too, is that it's about the kind of whole like false red flag thing in my mind is like everybody is going to have things that are bad about them.
You know,
everybody's going to have negative traits.
And everybody's going to have opinions about what things are more negative and less negative, but really it's the priorities of people in the situation.
Right. And
I think, yeah.
And just because someone has a negative trait does not mean that they're a bad person. And it does not mean that you can't have a relationship with them.
Not at all. But it is, I'm finding it's important to know which things are important for you.
Yeah.
And then to be firm with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So other than like the major red flags.
Yeah. One that did come up, which I do want to get your opinion on record. If someone has cheated before.
Bye.
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 Hard no.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being as someone who has said yes before because it wasn't a big deal. It's a big deal.
I think the only time it wouldn't make me immediately scream and run if they were like, I was 14 and it was my first girlfriend.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
As an adult.
But like, if you're an adult.
Frontal lobe? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were a child in middle school. Yeah. Something like that. You know, definitely not.
Anyone who says, I'm just not a good communicator, but is over the age of 21. That's a red flag for me.
I think it depends because people can say they're not a good communicator and they are when it comes like push comes to shove.
Right. And that's okay. But I feel like anyone who says like, I'm not a good communicator is just laying the groundwork for excuses later about like not communicating well enough.
Somewhat. I think it depends. My boyfriend is not good at talking about his feelings, but then he does.
That's not communication necessarily, though. You can, that's expression of emotions. I feel like when people say I'm not a good communicator, it's
more of like
it's laying the groundwork for like, oh, I'm not going to text you for 6 days, and then be like, I told you I wasn't a good communicator.
Oh no, that's not at all where I was going. I was like,
oh,
I mean,
that's where I'm going.
I'm not great at talking about my emotions. I understand like you have to like work on it.
Openness and vulnerability, those are totally different. When people it is probably one of the biggest red flags if someone tells me I'm just not a good communicator.
If they're talking about like communicating, like literally talking to you and telling you like what's up. Yeah, no, of course not. Goodbye.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Let's see. Recently, I've had people say they don't drink coffee.
Okay, that's fine.
Which is not inherently a red flag. But then when they say, oh, how much coffee do you drink?
Red flag.
Red flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone who runs for fun for me.
I think it red depends. Flag. On if that's what they talk about.
That's true. The answer is normally yes.
It depends on if they do the turkey trot every year.
I'm not getting up early on Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Like that's a red flag. Not necessarily running, but turkey trot level, goodbye.
Yeah. No, a family that does the 5K holiday runs would be just a nightmare and a half.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. What are some other? I just have had ones lately.
For some of the ones for me personally, is when they like belittle things that you like because they're girly or they don't understand them.
Oh, hate that.
Like,
I've
had a few different people try to like belittle my love for Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, goodbye.
Mm-hmm. No,
like you cannot like her. You don't have to be obsessed with her. But if anybody who says like, I say something about Taylor Swift and they go, oh, she only writes breakup songs. Goodbye.
Anyone who doesn't find me funny is a red flag for me.
Yeah, for sure. Because your comedy isn't, like your sense of humor isn't going to work.
No, that's, yeah. Also, I'm really funny. Like if you don't think I'm funny, I think that's a problem.
I think that's a you problem.
People who just continually talk about how much money they spend or make.
Big red flag.
Big red flag.
Yeah.
Big red flag.
Either because they're lying.
They're probably lying.
Or that's all that they care about and they just work and work and work.
Priority number one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone who tells me they haven't taken a vacation in like 2 or 3 years, for me, that's
same,
a red flag.
Same red flag for same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People who tell me that they have siblings, but they don't talk to them. And then once you get a little deeper into it, there's like no big fallout that happened. They just don't talk to their siblings.
Yeah. That one's it depends.
I know family's tough.
Family's tough.
If it's with parents, I understand that a lot more. But with your siblings, if nothing egregious happened, I find it very strange.
Unless you come from a home where that wasn't loving and was like tumultuous and like you didn't form a strong bond with your siblings.
That's true. Maybe. People who want to explain things to me that I already know just because I'm an alive, breathing adult.
Yeah, that's insufferable. That's not just a red flag. That's insufferable.
That's an instant no. Anyone who doesn't know you are, that's...
Yeah, definitely.
And that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
And people who don't know what irrational fears are, that's become a new red flag for me.
Okay.
That's explain. One of the... So on Hinge, that's one of the prompts is write your irrational fear.
Yeah.
And the amount of people who just write like sharks, that's not irrational. That's a rational fear. If you wrote sharks in swimming pools, that would be an irrational fear. But the amount of people who just write normal, everyday, regular fears, it just makes me think that they're not as bright as I would want them to be.
I will say a caveat with that because it's not irrational to be afraid of sharks, but you can have an irrational fear of sharks, as in like you are in 1 feet of water and you're terrified that the sharks are going to be there.
Right.
Or you will not go into the water at all because sharks might be there.
But that's not irrational. Sharks live in the ocean. And if you said like, a lot of people would be like, I have a fear of clowns. That's not an irrational fear. You have a fear that you will be stabbed by a clown.
Yeah.
That's irrational.
And that's what I mean of like with the sharks is like, you have such a fear that you're going to be attacked by a shark, which is not very likely, to be honest, that you will not go into the ocean at all. That's an irrational level of fear, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think that that's rational.
Because I would say that I have an irrational level of fear towards spiders. Because could certain spiders kill me? Yes. Do I also see a spider that definitely can't and I freak out?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I feel like it would be an irrational fear if you thought the spider was going to eat you. Then no, it's
I'm
irrational.
I'm literally afraid of the spider. Like I look at the spider.
Right, but I think I don't think that's I just don't think that's irrational. Maybe
even if that spider can't hurt me.
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to be afraid of that spider. And well, I'm still screaming.
But that's a phobia. Those are irrational to some extent. Phobia is irrational. You can be afraid of heights.
Yeah.
That's just a phobia. You can be afraid of crowds. If you are constantly worried that you're going to get stabbed in a crowd or that you're going to fall off the Chrysler building, I feel like that kind of
isn't that what the fear of heights is?
That you're going to fall?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a fear of heights.
I would think that's the fear.
I can ask someone. All right. We've gotten really off topic.
Yeah. I think it depends.
So we're off topic anyway. What else are you reading, watching, doing into right now?
I just finished another of the I forget what the series is called. Neon Gods by Katie Roberts.
Good. Still
pretty good. Yeah. I like her writing. But it's definitely mostly smut versus plot.
I'm having a hard time reading plot books right now.
Okay, well then you should read Neon Gods. You should read that whole series.
Okay, perfect.
There's enough plot, but it's mostly smut and character driven. So
nice. Okay.
I see you wrote Stranger Things down there.
I did. I started Stranger Things season 4.
Yeah. I have had a fixation on that since my boyfriend and I finished it.
Yeah. Okay.
This
season's a little, and it sounds so funny to say, it's a little paranormal for me. Like, I know. I get that. But, like, this season with the, like, lifting bodies and then...
It's much more horror-based than in the other seasons.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm enjoying it. I'm on episode 5.
Okay.
I'm, like, halfway done, I think, maybe-ish.
Yeah. I think this is the best season of Stranger Things, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. Obsessed with it. Have you been seeing all the things on TikTok? Like, the song?
Chrissy,
Wake Up?
Yeah, that's so I just realized that's what that's from. That's so funny. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's been stuck in my head.
No idea.
Yeah. And I was telling my boyfriend he should dress up as a Stranger Things character for Halloween.
Yeah. The chances of Delaney's boyfriend doing a costume with her. That requires any effort.
We've done it for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Let me finish my sentence. That requires any effort is so slim. If he does it, I'll buy a lottery ticket this year.
No, we're not even doing couples costume this year.
I know, because he hates it so much.
He doesn't fully hate couples costumes. We did it.
He hates it.
No, not really. What he hates is having to put in effort.
That's true.
If he can do a couples costume that's very minimal effort that he still likes, which is usually going to be something funny, mm-hmm. then yeah, sure. The problem is that I have not given him any of those options that he likes.
I think you guys should be fork knife. No. Okay, well, that's my
Here's my problem. I do not want one of those stupid low costumes. She doesn't want a low budget.
She wants high living.
Yeah.
I will be doing a couple's costume with myself this year.
Nice. Hall & Oates? Straight down the middle?
Straight down the middle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Stranger Things was great. Yeah, that's kind of it, to be honest.
I binge watched The Summer I Became Pretty on Amazon. It was so good.
Yeah.
It was so...
Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. It's an Amazon original, I think. And not original. It's based on a book, I think. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. There's something classically high school about the romance and the everything that goes on, but it's very true to what you felt at that age. I cried a little bit.
Nice.
And I didn't know anything about it going in. Like, there are people who've read the books and are obsessed with it. So for me, everything was a surprise, which is nice. But it's about a girl and her family who are friends with this other family, and they go stay at a beach house in a fictional beach town, but it's set like Cape Cod-esque. Every summer growing up, and it's just to the age where like the kids are all now interested in each other because they're like later teens.
Yeah.
And there's like a love triangle between her and the brothers, which is not a spoiler. That's in the description.
I hate that. I hate love triangles.
It's interesting. I normally do too, because I always feel bad for the third person, but this one, it leaves you at a place where you're like,
it can be done right.
Yeah. And it's got the soundtrack that they made for it was really, really good. And it's got some Taylor Swift music in it, which was fun.
That's the only thing I know about it, because she re-recorded a 1989 song for it.
So
that's
good.
All I know.
It's good and interesting. And that's pretty much it. I'm sick right now.
Yeah.
With a mysterious illness.
Which is not so mysterious.
Which is not mysterious. People are dumb. And I will be moving in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In 15 days. 16 days.
Wild.
To live with Delaney.
In the same place.
In the same place. Crazy. Crazy that we'll record an episode from like the same room.
Oh, I gotta figure that out. Yeah,
I know. Or not. We just figured this out, and it's been five years.
Yeah.
So just lots of very big, exciting things. But if you have recommendations, you can send it over to us on Instagram at Wicked Good Book Club. You can also find us on TikTok and DM us there. It's also at Wicked Good Book Club. We have a Gmail. We never use it. Please don't send us an email. I don't know why we have one.
Because we needed it for accounts.
Yeah,
we'll just make one.
We never read that. So if you want to send us stuff, just shoot it to us in a DM. We look at those. Goodbye.
Goodbye. This chaotic.
It's gonna take me 5 hours to edit this. Yeah, but that's okay.
I would say I'm sorry, but I can't really control my neighbors being stupid.